Let's get to our guest, Nicole Webb, Senior Vice President, Financial Advisor at Wealth Enhancement Group. Nicole, a simple question. Do you expect to enhance the wealth of your clients over the next couple of quarters?
I should have known that that was how you would lead into this. there's a lot of headwind in everyone's face, especially in the first quarter of next year. And so since you asked the question in the first couple quarters of next year, I think there's a lot of data there. The labor market still gives me that 40%, chance of a recession not being that terrible, not being that deep, not going that far. But as we continue to hear news like we did from Goldman today, that may very well shift the dynamics of the market and kind of that support you're seeing from the labor market.
Well, it's amazing the support the economy is getting from the labor market. And tell me, how does that play into the whole narrative of monetary tightening and how that is really showing any efficacy?
Yeah, yes. So if we think about it this way, there's, really three factors that have hit the labor market hard in terms of creating such a robust and strong labor market, which led to the wage inflation that we're still seeing. That's perhaps the most persistent measure, whether it's directly wage inflation or just the services end of inflation. Those primary factors are, we changed border and immigration policy back in 2016, and that's had a long runway now, escalated, of course, by shutdowns prompted by COVID. The mass exodus of the 55 plus year olds, accelerating their retirement. And then, of course, the death toll of COVID. So when you put all of that together, the labor market is in a very different position. Then you stack on top of it the access and autonomy and accessibility of the gig labor market. So the consumer is pretty confident that they're not going to starve. And that's a very different mindset. And I think part of kind of this soft landing narrative is, does the Fed pause for too long or get overly restrictive? And the layoffs are like a domino effect that crashes, right? So they all start to fall. And
I think that comment resonates with something I heard Sheila Bair say, someone who has been both prominent in the private sector and also working with government agencies, that she believes that the Fed is going too far, that it needs to pause now and or maybe just do 25 basis points at the next meeting to see the impact of this. Because otherwise, when you see what's happening in the housing market and the potential with labor, that it could, they could be going too far.
Yeah. And whether it's, yes, absolutely. I agree with everything you've just said. And I think that's where we are hopeful, of perhaps a sooner pause. And I think we're hopeful that the data starts to trickle through to the Fed in their observation of that they have to pause sooner rather than later, that this terminal rate around 5% is about as far as they can go, because I think inflation is going to surprise to the downside, meaning now as supply chain really normalizes itself, what does inflation look like? And do we really want to pull the levers to bring in demand destruction down to an inflationary level that perhaps we don't really need, and meaning that 2% target? So, I think the first couple of quarters are going to be extremely volatile, and a lot hangs on, some of this evidence or data to support if we've gone far enough or gone too far so we get that pause.
Nicole, I mean, with the new name of your company, the Wealth Preservation Group, are we looking at essentially staying away from companies like Tesla? I mean, if you look at this, it may have seen, had a bounce up, of course, in the last session, but it's been on the way down. It's had a terrible year, but you're looking at a market cap here of bigger than GM, Volkswagen, Ford, Mercedes, et cetera, and BMW all put together. Now, you've got to ask yourself here, as Brian was pointing out yesterday, we've got, still a PE of 27, 28 times earnings.
Right. I love Tesla. I have loved Tesla for years. I don't like where the stock price got to. I love the conversation or of, you know, should we think about Tesla as an automaker, or should we think about Tesla as a tech company? And where is that fair valuation point? Because yes, 45% growth is great, but I would argue it should have never, absolutely never been where it was. And, but I do think at $100, I mean, I love it. But what I think where Tesla's missing the mark is, you know, they are not taking strategic action to execute on the long-term vision that makes us believe in the long-term growth, right? So I think we're all hopeful, you know, open the plant in India, open a battery factory in India, show us that you are taking action, break ground, you know, give us the longevity belief. And I think that's where a lot of people are pointing blame to Elon's shift towards a focus on Twitter away from execution, you know, on Tesla's vision and long-term trajectory.
Let's talk a little bit about Asia. I'm not sure what your thoughts are on China. China has, you know, made this big move, kind of chaotic in a sense, right at the time when cases are surging, it's opening up. But nonetheless, you can look at it from a lot of different ways. It adds to global GDP. Maybe it adds to inflation, and maybe it adds to COVID cases. So how do you dissect that?
Yeah, I think so in this moment, you know, taking a step away from the conversation about the reopening trade in China, but more from a global perspective, what does China's reopening mean? And I think for many people, why does it have such an impact on the global equity markets as a whole? And that for us really plays into the global consumption of oil, and oil already being such a contentious point through most of 2022. And, you know, as we think about a full and robust reopening of China, we think about a normalization, because we were far from it, of the global consumption. And that plays into kind of, again, this earnings story on a go-forward basis. Because if we see a spike again in crude, as an example, then, you know, where there was margin in terms of transportation costs coming down, as one example, that affects the bottom line and the trajectory of that earnings growth or the lack thereof in 2023. And so that's a lot of this initial repricing, outside of, course, just kind of what the Chinese markets are doing as we think about their reopening.
Quickly here, Nicole, if you had to pick an asset class, and within that asset class, what would you really be your main conviction looking into 2023?
Yeah, my main conviction looking into 2023 is kind of probably more broad. And it's that, you know, everyone is saying the same thing, that short-term rates are giving equity so much in terms of competition. But I fundamentally believe that the expectation should be that the market responds once we pause, and that the ease is coming.
All right, Nicole, out of time, but an interesting thought to finish on. Nicole Webb, Senior Vice President, Financial Advisor at Wealth Enhancement Group.